I was trying to think of one of those movie scenes or something or a true story maybe when somebody was in need of help, and at just the right moment, the right person showed up and knew exactly what to do, and they saved their life, or they just took care of them, they rescued them, and so many movie lines, aren't there, of stories when that happens, and you go, man, what an amazing, what perfect timing. And when I start into the book of Ephesians, which is the journey we are jumping into over the next several, 4 weeks, including this week, that is really the heartbeat of where what we're going to see and where we're going to begin this journey, is that God did the exact same thing in Jesus Christ. At just the right perfect time, with the perfect plan, with everything that was perfectly needed, he jumped in. He came in and he saved, and he kept death from overcoming and overwhelming, and he made a way. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Fantastic. Wasn't even planning to go there with that one, but it seemed like the perfect timing, so I thought we ought to do that. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians tells us right from the very beginning that God should be praised for what he has done, and because of what he has done, that story should shape who we become as followers of Jesus, as members of the body of Christ. So before, as we get started for this journey over the next 4 weeks, that is one statement that I want to ask you to file in the back of your mind, or if you take notes, this will be a great series to take some notes along the way. Whether you write in your Bible or you get a notepad, or maybe you're amazing at taking mental notes, right? Sharp like a tack. Either way, that statement that the story of what God has done in Christ should shape who we become in Christ. I want you to commit that to memory and don't lose sight of that. And that's part of the reason that it just hit me this week. We ought to do a Bible challenge and have some fun with that this week. And so you may not have seen it. I put it out on our New Heck. New Heck. What was that about? That's the new name for our Facebook group. It's called New Heck. No, it's not. It's called NHCC Connect, right? Thank you. All right, that's close. But anyways, and so if you would put that slide up there for me, please. I want to just recap. So if you did not catch it, and if you're on Facebook, I want to encourage you, become a part of our group, NHCC Connect. You can find that, and that's the easiest way, really, for me to get information and out to you. And so here's what we're doing. Here's what it says. From January the 29th, today, through February 19th, here's two things I want to encourage you, challenge you, I want to ask you to do, and that is to read through the book of Ephesians completely each week. Now, it's six chapters. You'll go through it pretty quick. You can sit down and read it in one sitting, right? It can go pretty quick. So I want to encourage you to read that book. You say, well, second week, next week, well, I just read it last week. I know, but read it again. Third week, I just read the thing twice. I know what it says. That's great. But remember, it's not about you. It's about the one who will speak to you through his word. And we're going to focus on Ephesians. So do other things if you're doing other things in the Bible, but I just want to encourage you, if you could, to read through Ephesians. Each week we go through it, just whoop, read through the book. All right. The second thing is, and of course, listen expectantly as you read. The second thing is this, and some of you I know get excited, and others are getting really nervous, and you got these butterflies in your stomach, and you're going, I don't really like to memorize, and it's really hard for me, and that's okay. Give it the old college try, if you will, to try to memorize scripture. And so what I've done is given us four specific places in the book of Ephesians to work on memorizing. And so the goal is that you would, so for today it was Ephesians 1:3. So you work on memorizing that verse leading up to that Sunday today. So next Sunday, you'd work on memorizing Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And then you can see for week 3, chapter 4, verse 24, and then chapter 6, verse 10. And each of those passages aligns with what I'm going to teach on that particular week. So it'll help kind of get your mind working on what you're going to hear about Sunday morning. So you can find that summary on Facebook. You can take a picture of it right now if you want. I'll leave it up here for a moment. You get your cameras out. It's always helpful. I find it's always helpful. You can email me if you need help knowing what was that verse, and I'm happy to help you as well. Okay, I'll send you the list. So it can be an amazing journey for us, and this may be something that you're not used to doing, and that's okay. Give the old college try, right? All right, fantastic. So let's jump in today as we plow into the book of Ephesians and see what God may teach us, what we will learn, and how He will challenge us over the next few weeks. Now, as the Apostle Paul begins the book of Ephesians, he starts with, verse 1 and verse 2 is the introductory, and then we get to verse 3, which is the memory verse for today. And so I have that. I'm going to put that on the screen, and I would ask, can we all just read that verse together? You ready? 1, 2, 3, let's go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now do me a favor, don't say it out loud, but just read that one more time quietly in your mind. Praise God, for He has blessed us so greatly, so immensely in Jesus Christ. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That's why we started with that today. Good job, Carrie. Thank you for that. That's our theme today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise Almighty God. I mean, I'm telling you, like, praise God. Sermon's done. I mean, it's all in Christ. Hey, you're gonna beat the brunch crowd. I mean, you're gonna be good. You're golden. All right. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, not because of who you are or because of what you have done or what you can do, because of your strength, because of your smarts, because of your good morals, because of your sound philosophy. None of that, Paul says, has God blessed you, but He has blessed you in Christ. And the lesson that we are learning in Paul's doxology, which is the star, which is chapter 1, beginning of verse 3 and kind of going on to verse 14 or so, is the idea that the reason you are so blessed is because of your salvation. It's because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. That's why you're so blessed. That the greatest blessings that God desires to pour into your life and that He will pour into your life is connected to your faith in Jesus Christ. If you want God's great blessings, you got to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through Him. And Paul says the greatness of God's goodness has been poured out in Jesus Christ. So praise God. Praise God for Jesus. That's the heart of it. And so Paul is really good that he always wants to say in 100 words what he could say in 10. I think that's funny. I honestly think that's hilarious. No, not really. It's the style of writing. It's the genre of Christian literature that he's writing. And so he's writing a particular form and it has rules to how you write that kind of literature. And when he's writing his letters, and so it's on purpose, but it just always seems funny. So what he does is he says, praise God for all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms that have come into Christ. And so just in case you're not sure what that really is, well, then he unpacks it. So if you have your Bible open today, I want to encourage you in Ephesians chapter 1, if you look at verse 4. If you don't, I'm going to walk us through that, so don't worry about it. But if you'd like to follow along and perhaps make some notes or underline here, I want to share with you what are those blessings that Paul is specifically wanting us and warning the Ephesians, but also us. What's he wanting us to catch? And I love this. And so here it is. He says, I want you to know that God has always had since eternity. Let that sink in for a moment. Since before life was even created, God had a plan. And it is a perfect plan. He knew exactly what was needed. He knew what would happen. He knew how to handle it. He knew when. He knew the right way. Everything. He knew it all. And we think God can't handle, and he doesn't know the right timing, and he doesn't have enough to handle what concerns us today. Paul says, no. I tell you what, you look at Jesus, Jesus blows that idea out of the water. That's not God trying to tempt you to believe that. That's the enemy. Don't believe that God doesn't have what you need to handle you, take care of you, to lift you up, to carry you through. Absolutely. Because I tell you what, if he could do what he did in the perfect timing, in the perfect way, with just the perfect person through the cross to save you, certainly he can handle what concerns you today. I think I owe Lincoln money. I think I owe Lincoln money. Goodness. Kids, you're going to break me. In what ways has God blessed us? But I wouldn't trade it for the world. In what ways then has God blessed us? To kind of get a little bit more specific, because that's exactly what he does in his doxology, if you will, this giving of thanks in chapter 1. And he says, well, here's the deal. He says, what he's done is he's made you holy and blameless and put you in his kingdom. Now, to be in his kingdom, you need to be a part of the family. And so he says he's adopted you into the family. You once were on the outside. You were not of the covenant people of Israel. You were on the outside. And what he did was he brought you in as one would adopt a child into a family. And he says, you belong in my household. You're part of my family. And he paid the price that it would be required in order for you to be adopted into that family, because it would come with a cost. But he ransomed, he paid for, he bought you and brought you in. So, well, what was the cost that he paid? It was the life of his son, Jesus Christ, at the cross at Calvary. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He paid the price. And when that price was paid and you placed your faith and trust in Jesus, that what he did was for you, then my friends, your sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is no longer something afar off. That has been placed upon you, so that when the Father sees you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon you through your salvation. And he says, you belong to me. You can belong to all sorts of organizations and clubs and teams and da-da-da-da-da and parties in the world, but there ain't nothing that will compare with belonging to the family of God in the kingdom of Christ. That is the greatest citizenship that anyone can ever attain, for it pays eternal dividends. Your sins are forgiven, and you have hope for eternity with God. And here's what I love. And Paul expounds a little bit, and he goes, now you got to know this, though. There is absolutely no power, whether it's in the heavens or it is on earth, there no spiritual, nothing that can take away, can undo what God has done through the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Nothing. Because God is supreme. Now, we hear that so much. If you've grown up in the church, I'm going to guess you've probably grown up hearing that more than once. Well, to the people, to the Ephesians, the people that Paul's writing this letter to, if they were not grow up people that grew up in the church. They were people that didn't know the God of the Israelites. They were Gentiles. And he's going into them, to that community, and he's telling them about the God of the Jews and the story of the Father sending Christ to earth. And what we know is what? As the Christmas and Easter story? And he tells that, and he's telling them that, he's told them that story, and people have come to faith, and the churches have started. And that's a big deal there, because in Ephesus, that was like this big crossroad of commerce and spiritual worship between, with the Greeks and the Romans. And so you had the temples all over the place. One of the great wonders of the ancient world was the temple that was built to the goddess Diana. I mean, you go to Ephesus, and if you were there in that day, you would walk into this town, and it would just floor you with all the plethora of worship of different false gods all around. And Paul has come to town, and he sees all of this, and he's well aware. And he spent his life learning about the God of the Israelites, of the Jews, of Yahweh. He's grown up learning the scriptures and who the Messiah would be, the Christ, right? And what he would do. And he knows now what he's done because the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, right? And he had Spirit's conversion. And he's like, I get it. Oh, my word. And God called him to go and to preach to the Gentiles. So there he is, and he's going. And he's like, I got to tell you this. He's like, the greatest God. Oh, by the way, the only real God that exists. He's done something very special for you because he wants something very special for you. And he's done it in the perfect way at the perfect time. And it's the perfect plan. And he did it for you. And you really ought to praise him for it. And I hope that you know that. And I hope that you know that. So just in case you don't, that's how he starts his letter in Ephesians 1. And he says, hey, praise God. Let's just read it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I love it. How do I know that that is set in place for me? How do I know that? Paul writes, God has sealed that for you by the Holy Spirit. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven, you're brought into the family of God. God placed His Holy Spirit within you and upon you, and that which He had done for you was set in place for you so that nothing can take that away from you. That feels pretty good. But you must believe. But you must believe. Don't walk away. Don't make it all for naught. Don't turn your back on Jesus and say, forget that. It's not my place to say where that person may spend eternity, but Scripture presents a pretty compelling argument that he who believes and then turns away and says, I don't want any of it, probably doesn't have a great future. The power of God's grace in our lives through our faith in Jesus Christ has set in place for us a hope for eternity with God. And we have, by the sufficiency, and here's a big $5 word for a Sunday morning, by the efficacy of the work of Jesus Christ at the cross, something done on our behalf that accomplishes exactly what God set it out to accomplish for us. And I mean, listen, and there is nothing that you can do to add on to the work of the cross of Jesus Christ to make God love you any more than He already does. If only I read my Bible more. Maybe. If only I could get up and go to church more than one Sunday a month. Now y'all, you know, you're here all the time. If only, then God would love me more, be more proud of me. I'd be in a better position with God. No! It's not about you. It's about God. But it is about you. Walking by faith. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Lord, I trust you. But there is this one part of my life that I feel like it's like a hiccup for me. Would you help me here? Lord, the desire is there, but man, I struggle to just regularly read my Bible. I just feel like I struggle to just take the time to just sit and just to relax and just think about God. I imagine every one of us in this room in some way or another have probably maybe one thing that we wish was a little bit better in our relationship with the Lord. And you may sit there and think, yeah, but mine's the worst. If you were to look around, you might find some others who say, you know what? My relationship with the Lord, I wish it was a little bit better than it is today. And I don't tell you that because I want us to have permission to just live freely and do whatever we want and don't worry about the Lord. No. I want us to be encouraged that sometimes the enemy tries to deceive us to think that we're so worthless, that we are so bad, that we are so short, that we lack. That are you certainly sure that God is pleased with you? Are you certainly sure that He really loves you? Are you confident that what He says He really can do for you? Are you really putting all your chips in that basket? Come on. Paul says, yeah, I don't know any better basket to put all your chips in. Because praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through our salvation has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. And he says, I know you're hearing all this stuff from all these different religions and philosophies and ideas and ways of thinking out in the world. You're hearing all of that, but I want you to also hear and to trust that God has done for you on your behalf what nothing else in the world can do for you. And if you want peace in your life, you're going to have to turn to Jesus. If you want to stop serving these selfish false gods that just demand stuff from you but don't give you anything in return because they're not real, they can't give you anything in return, and trust in the God who does love you and wants your best and can give you His love in return, that choice is up to you. You decide. Right, like Joshua 24:15, right? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You got to decide. What are you going to do? Nobody can decide for you. You want to be the spiritual head of your household? You make that decision. You want to teach your kids about the love of Jesus in the gospel and in the scriptures? And not just trust that the church is going to do that? Well, then that's your decision. You make that decision and do it. You want your kids to be covered in prayer? You make that decision and pray for them daily. Do you want to be a disciple-making follower of Jesus? So your life brings praise and honor to Him, then you make that decision. You have to decide. What are you going to do? Well, I don't have time for all that. There's a lot of busy people in Ephesus. Commerce there was booming. Lots of money. Industry. Lots of time. Effort. Opportunity for work. But you got to make the decision. What are you going to value? What will you prioritize with your life? And if you think of God and what He's done in Christ, then He says, that ought to shape who you become, what you prioritize, what you value. Put your money where your mouth is, right, kind of thing? That's kind of a crass way of saying that, isn't it? Hope that didn't offend anybody. I'm sorry if it does. Paul says, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. He tells his Christian, he says, I've been praying for you. I'm so excited of your faith, man. I'm so excited. You've been loving people. You've been loving God. And I've been lifting you up in prayer ever since I found out about this. I'm so excited for what is happening in Ephesus. This is amazing. And so I'm praying that God is going to make His love and His power known to you through the Holy Spirit residing in you. Man, of all the influences, I want you to know God personally. I don't want you just to know Him in your head. I want you to know Him in your heart. I don't want you just to know words on a page. I want you to know the author of the words on the page. I've been praying that this spirit of wisdom and revelation of understanding will be upon you, that you will just know. Do you know God? Yeah, I know about God. I'm not asking you, do you know about God? Do you know God? Well, I guess. Do you know God? Do you want to know God? Do you want to be known by God? Do you? He says, I'm praying that you'll know Him personally. You'll know Him for real. His presence. Every blessing from God is through His grace, and I would say to us is approved under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's verse 22. In chapter 1. And so I must say to you again what I've been saying, and that is praise God for His perfect plan designed before creation and executed perfectly in the perfect way so that we could be holy and blameless, we could be in His family, we could be reborn and forgiven, we could be transformed by His grace, we could be preserved for all of eternity, thus we have hope in Christ, and we could know God personally. All because of love. Do you remember, those have been here since I started, do you remember three words that I said to us, a declaration I told to you when I began? It begins with God. God loves you. God loves you. And if you don't hear anything else today, I hope you hear that. God loves you. He did what He did because of His perfect love for you. And His perfect redemption for you. And His perfect kingdom for you. And His perfect promise of the Spirit of God upon you, for you. Because He loves you. But I'm not good enough to deserve His love. It's not about that. He still loves you. He'll love me more when I know the Scriptures better. No! Because His love for you is not based on what you do, it's based on who He is. Not what you don't do, or you do. I was going to say do-do, but then the kids would be like, Pastor Andy said do-do. For God so loved the world, He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is through love that he will make all things new when the Lord returns. This tells a story in Revelation. His love is certainly praiseworthy. And Paul wants us to hear that. And I want all of us to be reminded of that today. And you say, well, what can I do? Like, how can I just go out praising God for his loving grace? And I have four quick little things. I just thoughts that I have that come out of this passage that I'll share with you. And here's one. Commit to Christ. Commit to Christ. Every good thing that God has for you will come through your faith in Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him. So the thing you need to do if you want to give praise to God is you've got to commit to Jesus. And you say, well, I need help learning what that looks like in my life. Hey, that's why I'm here. That's why our elders are doing what they're doing. That's where our small group leaders are doing what they're doing, right? That's people who have been walking with Jesus for years, right? I mean, we are more than happy to help each other discover that life of loving and growing and serving as part of the church body, right? Commit to Christ. Trust and follow Him. It's not always easy. You'll be tempted to do other things. You'll be tempted to value the world's values instead of God's values. But as I said earlier, you have to decide. I have to decide. Am I committed to Christ or not? Am I committed or not? Do I want to do this or not? How serious is this commitment in my heart? Do you have a vision for what that looks like in your life? Commit to Christ. Say, Lord, help me. And give Him thanks every day. Have an attitude of gratitude. Thank God. Pray without ceasing. In all things, pray and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul says, praise Him and give thanks. Give thanks for what? Watch. Give thanks for Jesus Christ and what He's accomplished for you through the cross. Give thanks for His grace in your life. Give thanks for His Holy Spirit with you. Give thanks that He is faithful to you. And we sang that. Give thanks. I mean, what are the things that you want to give God thanks for and tell are good, right? And you guys are naming off just again and again and again all those qualities, things you know. Give thanks every day. Be generous with your life. God has been so generous through His Son and His Holy Spirit. And He says, I want you to go love the world like I have loved you and like I love you. And so that means go be generous with your life. Be generous with your gifts. Be generous with your resources, your time, your treasure. Don't hold too tightly to the things of the world. For in the end, they just perish, spoil, and fade. God gives you what He gives you for your good and for you to use for the good of others. Be sure to be generous to that end. But that also means, as He generously forgave you, forgive others. As He has been patient with you, be patient with others. Where He has served, serve others. Be generous. Know God more through the Scriptures. That's why I thought it'd be good for us. Like, let's read through the book of Ephesians multiple times through this. Let's work on memorizing Scripture. Let's see what God would say afresh. And as we read through this, I bet there's multiple people in here that have read through the book of Ephesians more than once. I mean, not even, I mean, like you did this before we even started this journey. And yet I bet that I imagine that if you come with a listening heart and you read it again, God's going to speak something fresh and new to you about Jesus, about you, about His love for you, how He sees you, how He desires you to see Him, where He wants to grow you. He will. So read. Pray when you're in the Scriptures. Work on memorizing. And that may be challenging. But just give it the old college try. Right? And say, Lord, help me. Meditate on it. Not the, as we said last week, right? The emptying of ourselves. That's not Christian. That's not meditation as in the Bible, right? It's actually the opposite. It's filling ourselves with thoughts upon God and His Word. That's biblical meditation. And so, right, it's more of the concept of almost like mumbling. God, thank you. What'd you say? I was just speaking what I know about God has told me through the Scriptures, about who He is, why I love Him, what's so good about Him. Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, that's cool. You learn the things to meditate upon, finding them in the Scripture. Go find the nuggets, truth about God, store them to memory, let the Holy Spirit work them within you, in your heart and your mind, and just think about those things. Just think about it, think about it, think about it. Just the idea, picture it in your head. He is high and lifted up. Just, I don't know exactly what that looks like. I haven't been to heaven yet. But the Scripture says He is high and lifted up. Man, what does that look like in your head to imagine God high and lifted up? What does it look like that Jesus is in a place of authority at the right hand of the Father in heaven? What does that look like? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But imagine, what does that look like in my head to see my Lord lifted up in a position of authority next to the Father? Wow, I don't know. Think again and again and again. That's where memorizing Scripture becomes actually quite helpful, because we commit to memory words of truth that we then have that we can think about. And you don't have to study it in like, I got to go to the Greek and I got to go to the Hebrew and I got to learn all this and these verbs and da da da. It's like, I mean, you can, but I'm telling you, you don't have to do all that. Because the Holy Spirit can teach you about God through the words of what the Lord needs you to know, would like for you to know about Him, and speak to you what the Lord would like to see happen in your life because He loves you and the goodness He wants from you beyond even this moment. He can do that through His words. That's the good thing about the Holy Spirit. So let's just take in the time. And I know we're busy. I get it. I can be busy too. But sometimes the busyness is just not really busyness. It's just we fill our time with different things. And so we just maybe need to ask the question, do I have all the right things that I'm building my day with? And just say, Lord, help me. Just help me. Because I know in my heart, let's say it again, that praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Maybe the great thing I can tell you is that if you know that God loves you, the Apostle Paul perhaps would say to us, then have a posture of praise for all that He has done, for He is truly worthy of all glory and honor and praise through His Son Jesus Christ and the salvation He has brought to the world through the cross and the empty grave. Amen, amen, right? You're not just forgiven. You're reborn. You're more than conquerors. You've overcome it. You have the Spirit of God to give you victory every single day. He can bring to mind the things that He wants you to know through His Word that you're learning. He'll bring that, resurface that. And when you want to speak the things of God, you're like, I don't know what to say. God says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say that you might speak words of truth out in the world that will point people to God and to His work and His love through Jesus Christ, His Son. He's got your back. He'll pour out so many blessings. Keep a posture of praise. Commit, give thanks, be generous, know Him more, all with a posture of praise. Now, there's other things we come up with, and we're not going to get into all that because I'm done. But hopefully this is a good starting point. If you've never thought about this, that you can just take and you can sort of run with it and just say, what does that look like in my life? What do these things look like for me? And run with that. Right? And we're always here to help along the way also because we love you and we want to see you grow in making disciples and being a disciple who loves, grows, and serves for the glory of God. Amen.